want to read to you from the Bible, from the book of Ecclesiastes, which says this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. It's a famous passage which we've read numerous times before, but it's very true. There's a time for everything, and as we can see by how many of us are gathered, we're in a time of summer, which is not wrong. People go away and enjoy a more relaxed pace of life generally. And often churches just plough ahead and keep going with the same old thing. But we have to respect the times and the seasons. And so during the summer we have more relaxed services where we're all together. They're kind of like family services. So, you know, a bit of give and take, a few games and traditional hymns. But we do things slightly differently. Today we're going to have a short service with a few different things in it, including a very exciting cartoon DVD. Look forward to that with some stunning acting. Let's pray together. As we begin. Lord, we thank you that we have different times and different seasons, that you've created the world that way, that there are busy times and times when we're not so busy. We pray you would help us to listen to you, not to just plough ahead with the same things and to try and force things, but to listen to how you want us to live, to listen to what time and what season it is, to relax in those times that we need to relax. And to be busy in the times we need to be. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us. We ask this morning that you'd guide us and lead us, that you'd set the tone for this service together. And though there are a few of us and the room is big, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we'd hear your voice, and that we would go having met with you this morning. We pray for your spirit to move among us, that we would feel many, and we would know that we're joining with many others in worshipping you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you this morning, which, because it's a different time, you're going to be doing some of the work this morning as well as me. Don't fret. It won't be scary. The question is this. If you could have been born at any moment in history, or if you could go back or forward to any time, when would it be? And why? Now, in this question, you could also say if you could be a certain person in history, like Queen Victoria, or something like that. It could be a time, or it could be a person, or it could be a place at a time. You can be as specific or as vague as you wish. But if you weren't born now, and you could choose to be born at any time, past or future, when would it be, and the important part of the question, and why? Discuss, do gather together, not, you know, where you are, with people, or not, and discuss. And I'll be asking, so hopefully you'll have a think. So you'd have been with my dad then? He'd like to be back to the 40s. Yeah. Well, it'd be fine, you'd get on, it'd be good, yeah. Did you watch the 1940s House that was on a few years ago? Oh yeah, I'm glad someone did. It's one of those things I say, oh, okay, don't worry. That was good. Anyway, one of my favourite films... Oh, what about me? You see, I have a kind of fancy to go back to, like, Henry VIII and all that. But I'm not really sure. I think I'd like to be in the privileged classes, obviously.
Yeah, and male, because otherwise, you know. But then I think I'd probably have been beheaded or something. You know, I'd have got myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, oh. But one of my favourite films is Back to the Future. Does anyone know that film? Not just because I fancied Michael J. Fox in the time, but I like the film, Back to the Future. And it's because of this idea of going forward, seeing what's happening, and then being able to change it and come back so it changes the past and the future. And that idea is kind of quite fascinating, and I think a lot of people like it. Because when you look at the amount of films that have been made about people going into the future or going back to the past, or trying to change things, then there are a lot of them. To name but a few, there's things like A Christmas Carol, when people appear from the future and the past. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, if any of you have seen that. Field of Dreams. Galaxy Quest, another one of my favourite films. Have you seen that? Oh, that's very funny. Anyone like Star Trek? Well, you'll like Galaxy Quest. It's a kind of spoof. Anyway, Groundhog Day. Has anyone seen that? Yeah, it drives me mad. I can't, you know, same day over and over again. The Lake House, a romantic film about time travel. Lost in Space, Planet of the Apes, Terminator, 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many there are. The Time Traveller's Wife, which I tried to watch the other day. Just got a bit confused. Time Cop, Stargate, and of course all the Star Trek films, which go on, and then there's like all these spin-offs, which I don't know. And there's lots of programmes dedicated to time travel as well, including perhaps the most popular of the day, Doctor Who. Does anyone watch Doctor Who? No. See, I don't watch it because I remember watching it as a child and it scared me so much, I can't watch it now. But there's all these kind of stories about time travel, and they're in different genres as well. So there's romance, does time travel, and adventure and comedy. They all do this travelling between time, seeing what the future might be like, seeing what you can do in the past that will change the future, and vice versa. It's a popular subject. And maybe this is just because we like watching films like that. But then I thought maybe it's because actually we can't do that. We can't travel in time. And so watching it is the best we can do. It's kind of an escape, this adventure of what will the future be like? We're never going to know because we're not going to be in it. You know, and what would the past have been like if you were in it? Well, we're not going to know. We've got history, but we can't experience it. And so there's this fascination of travel. But also, sometimes I think we're interested in time travel and the future and the past, because sometimes we're unhappy with the present and we think, oh, the past was so much better. And we like to think of going back to that. I know that's why my dad enjoys thinking of the 40s, because he really loved that, like you, Pat. He loved that time. He was a little boy and he loved what was happening. And so he thinks back to that time because it was a good time for him. And sometimes we think of time travel because at the moment our lives are maybe not so happy as they were back then. But the thing is, whether we like it or not, and you know, to state the obvious, we're here in 2011 and we can't go anywhere. This is where we are at this time. Now, some people see this as a negative thing. This is where I am, and what's life all about? Oh, the world's going, oh, it's awful. But actually, we're here in this time for a reason. We weren't born by accident to be around now in this specific place at this specific time. It was planned. It was prepared for us. It was organised by God. He wanted us here and now for a reason. He didn't want me back with Henry VIII for some reason. He didn't want some of us in the future. He wanted us here and now. The Bible says this: God shaped us in our mother's womb. Like an open book, he watched us grow from conception to birth. All the stages of our life were spread out before him, and the days of our lives
were prepared even before we'd lived one day. You see, God didn't think, oh, I have these people at this time, what shall I do with them? He actively planned for us to be born when we were born. And he's actively planned the days of our life before us, because he has something for us to do. I've got a game for us to play.
Oh, do you enjoy my game?
Yeah.
Excellent. You see, the thing is, the point being, we don't know the future. We're born in this time. We can't time travel. We don't know what the future holds. But we're born for a reason. So how do we deal with that? We can't affect the future, or can we? How do we deal with being born in a certain time for a reason we're not always sure about, when we don't know what the future holds? I want to tell you a story. It's about a young girl, but we'll get to her. It starts off with a king, King Xerxes, who was the king of Persia. He had a queen called Queen Vashti, King Xerxes and Queen Vashti. One day, the king had a banquet, and during the banquet, he called for the queen to come out in front of all the guests so they could see how beautiful she was. But Queen Vashti wasn't having any of this. She didn't want to do what the king said, so she refused to come out. Well, King Xerxes, of course, got a bit fed up with this, because the queen always does what the king says. So he got rid of her. Didn't want that queen. A few days went by, and King Xerxes started to think, oh, actually, I do want a queen. I want a beautiful queen. And so he sent out throughout his kingdom word that all the young girls should come to his palace so he could choose the next queen. Among these young girls was a girl called Esther. Now, Esther was a Jew. She lived in Persia because the Jews had been captive and taken to Persia years ago. And so she lived there as a Jew. So she wasn't living in that country as a person of that country. But the king didn't know that. And so Queen Esther went to the palace. Out of all the girls that had been collected before the king, Queen Esther was picked to be the next queen. But her uncle, called Mordecai, told Queen Esther to keep her ancestry as a Jew secret, not to tell the king she was a Jew, because he wouldn't be pleased with that. And so she didn't. She became queen, she was beautiful, everyone admired her. There was King Xerxes and Queen Esther. Soon, King Xerxes picked someone to head up all his men. This man was called Haman. Now, Haman was quite a proud man, and he demanded that everyone bow before him when he walked past. But Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, wouldn't bow. He wouldn't bow to anyone but God. And so Haman became upset and devised a plan. He knew Mordecai was a Jew, so he devised a plan to kill all the Jews in Persia. And he went to King Xerxes, and he laid out this plan. And King Xerxes thought it was a good idea. Why not get rid of all these people so that there were only Persians in Persia? And so they devised a day when all the people of Persia were allowed to rise up and kill the Jews. A decree was signed, and King Xerxes sent this rule out via Haman that all the Jews could be killed on a certain day. Of course, Esther was a Jew, Queen Esther. The king didn't know this, but even so, she was a Jew. So Mordecai sent word to her to see if she could do something. This is where we pick up our wonderful cartoon with the wonderful acting, which will explain the rest of the story to us.
Brilliant, wasn't it? I am a Jew. Excellent acting.
But you see, the thing is, we may not know what life holds for us.
And in some ways it's a good job, isn't it? We wouldn't want to know the future laid out to us because we just live to a certain event. But you see, Esther didn't know what life held for her either. She was born at a certain time, but she didn't know what life held for her. She didn't know she was going to become queen. She was a Jew. Who would have thought she would become queen of Persia? She didn't know she would be heading up with King Xerxes, a vast empire. She didn't know that when she was queen, Haman would persuade the king to sign a decree to kill all the Jews. She didn't know that the life of her people would be under threat when she was in a position to do something. She didn't know that her uncle, who she calls father on the DVD, would be in danger as well. And more importantly, she didn't know that it would be her job to step into danger to sort things out. She didn't know that when she was born, when she was young, when she was growing up. And yet, when it came to her time to do something, when it came to her time to act, she was willing to do it. She was willing to put herself in danger. She was willing to step out of her comfort zone. She was willing to do something because she knew this is what God had wanted her to do. As her cousin Mordecai says, "Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? Who knows that you are not in this place at this time for this reason?" And so Esther put her life in danger to change things, to rescue the Jews, to save her uncle. And you know, similarly, we're born at this time. There's very little likelihood that any of us will become queen or king. Very little likelihood that we would be in positions of great power to affect kingdoms. But there will be things that God wants us to do at this time for a reason, to make a difference to one or two or three or four or more lives. And the question, I guess, is, do we listen to what God wants and act upon it? Or do we just blindly live and make best of what we can in the time in which we are living? Because even if it's a tiny decision or a tiny thing or one person, if God wants us to help, then he will work through us to make a big difference. He did for Esther, and he will for us. Let's pray together.